recession hit and Dubai was not the same anymore, right? Like a lot of people who I knew went back and things like that. I think I prefer doing other way around. If I want to learn something, then I target those roles or those job specifications where I can learn it, and then actually go back, draw my learning from all the courses and everything, and apply. Real estate is definitely one of the biggest industry to be in UAE, and I think no one knows better than India, because a lot of investments come from India.
Hey, you're back with the next episode in Copa Talks, the ultimate CFO podcast brought to you by Blue Copa. Here, we bring you unfiltered access to conversations with veteran finance leaders covering key milestones and challenges in their journey through stories. Are you someone who likes breaking stereotypes, enjoys being unconventional, and gets off on taking up new challenges? Then you are at the right place. Today, we interact with Jarna, one of the popular women CFOs from India. Currently residing in Dubai, Jarna has taken up CFO roles across food, travel, retail, and crypto industries in the Emirates. Join us as she shares about her career in finance, her stints, milestones, her movement to Dubai, and the role of DEI in the modern workforce. Let's go. Hey Jarna, so wonderful to have you join us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Guru. It's my pleasure. Looking forward to a lovely conversation with you.
Great. I look forward to it as well. Just like all the other episodes, we'll start first. We would want the audience to know about you. So why don't you start about your story?
Sure. So I'm born and brought up in Bangalore. So right from childhood. So we are basically three sisters. And, you know, right from childhood, you know, the way we are conditioned to grow up as independent women, since we don't have men supporting us all throughout our lives. So we were very fortunate that we didn't have anyone to look up to in terms of that kind of, support in terms of decision making. So right from our childhood, we have made our own decisions. We have grew up on that. So I was the first person in my family who made this decision that I want to go beyond the graduation and do something like chartered accountancy, which is very uncommon in our community. I think I was the first couple of women in our community who became a chartered accountant. So yeah, it was a very fruitful childhood, I would say, because I think your circumstances push you to right direction. So that's how I decided to be a CA. Of course, the journey wasn't easy. But I took it up along with my graduation. So I did foundation and then did CA alongside. So by the time I was 23, I was a chartered accountant. I got my first break to work with Coca-Cola. So that was post my CA. So I started working with Coca-Cola as in the regional office. I was the financial analyst there. I think I understood business as such from that role of mine. And I really enjoyed working there.
So very important question here. Do you get free Coke?
Those days, yes. But I think these days I myself don't opt for it. So
Got it.
Yeah, but it was a very eventful start of my career, I would say, because working with a corporate like Coke, and especially working with great leaders around you, you get to learn so much. I think my inspiration was from the people that I work with at Coke. I worked with a very strong woman by name Manjula, and I learned a lot from her. You know, she was so meticulous. So I think that has been one of, groundbreaking, a path for me. And thereafter, yeah, it has always, my journey has been a roller coaster. It has never been straight linear. But yeah, I've enjoyed every bit of it. And thereafter, I switched from FMCG to Sonata Software. So I think this was a very unconventional decision in those days. But being from Bangalore, IT was something that lured me. And I did see that is future. So which is why I started with Sonata Software. And I worked on ERP implementation. I worked on functional consultancy, a lot of things to do. So I was not in typical FP&A, right? I was in a complete technical side of the business, but got to learn again a lot. And that helped me again to carve my path ahead later on you know, as I grew in my career. And then I think UAE happened. It just happened that, you know, I was looking, I had an opportunity to work in Germany at that time because the client that I was working with had offered. And while I was thinking, I wasn't so much open for relocating to Germany. But at the same time, I saw Dubai as a good opportunity if you want to go out of India. And UAE in those times was literally at that place where it was getting into the growth phase. So I think I came in at a very right time. Or maybe not also, because 2007, I moved to UAE. Within 15 days, I landed up a job. It was a good company and, you know, everything was good. And come 2008, recession hit. Of course, nothing happened to my job. Everything was okay because I was again in food industry. But recession hit and Dubai was not the same anymore, right? Like a lot of people who I knew went back and things like that. I worked for almost like around 3.5-4 years with this company. And that has been my early journey, I would say.
Got it. So over the course, while you were explaining, one thing is very clear, which is you've taken up a series of stints doing different things or solving different problems, right? So in today's language, it's called being a generalist, a finance generalist, right? How do you find interest in these?
So there are two paths, I think, for everyone. One is a conventional path where you choose your line of specialization and you stick to it and you keep doing it and become expert at it. I was never satisfied or contented with what I did or learned. I wanted to learn newer things, and which is why I think I always opted to do newer things instead of, like, for example, people who go for audit, they are like all throughout their 20-25 years of corporate journey, they are into audits, right? But I knew it very early that, you know, I like to learn new things and I would love to pivot myself into different roles, and which is why I opted, or maybe I can say that risk is in my DNA. So I always opted choices which allowed me to explore my abilities or maybe, you know, challenge myself.
Yeah.
And I still keep continuing to do that.
So I think, would you recommend the same kind of traits for the people who are taking up such diverse career roles in their journey?
It completely depends on the person. You know, if you have an ability to work hard, when I say work hard is literally work hard and make your mark, then I think that is the best way, because then as you grow, see, everyone after like 10-15 years get into a management role, a very senior management role, where you need to have knowledge about everything. You cannot just have limited knowledge of one area. And that does not allow you to grow as a CFO or anything beyond that, right? So I think it's a very important ability to learn newer things and have knowledge and build yourself around the latest trends and what's happening around you. That allows you to possibly grow in your career at a much better level.
Better level. Perfect. I think the knowledge point was very interesting. I'm just going to use that as a segue. Those days, again, coming back to early 2000s to 2010s, the so-called knowledge base or wisdom wasn't existent or wasn't as prevalent as today, right? You have YouTubes and Googles of today. But back then, the knowledge, even the data for it was very limited. So in those cases, how did you go about acquiring skills for each and every new role? Given that it's pretty diverse and you have to unlearn and relearn a few things, how did you go about acquiring and where did you go about finding them?
I think most of my learning is on the job. At least in those days, it was totally on the job. I had to spend extra time. If someone could do the same work in maybe 2 hours, I used to take 3 hours, but then I would get into details and learn it. But yes, since the advent of YouTube and Google, I think the world has become much more easier. Yes, there are many other platforms where you can upskill yourself, but I think nothing like Google, right? It has answers for everything pretty much, right? You just know where to search and you get answers. So I have spent a lot of time, at least in last 10 years, I would say I have done so many newer things, and a lot of it is come through upskilling. I never learned it earlier in my life, right? I've never done it earlier in my life. So it has all come through, you know, Google and learning on the job.
Got it. And what kind of recommendations do you have for the generation of today in terms of upskilling, now that they have everything in their hands?
I think it's very important to know what interests you and figure out what's the best way to learn that. In my experience, I have done also online courses. I have kind of upskilled through degrees, right? But what I realize is that no matter how many academic qualifications you hold, unless you apply it, it's of no use. You tend to forget it, right? So I think I prefer doing other way around. If I want to learn something, then I target those roles or those job specifications where I can learn it, and then actually go back, draw my learning from all the courses and everything and apply it, because that's when you know it forever. Then you never forget it.
True that. Got it. Great. So now we are slightly, changing directions. We are traveling to Dubai. So I'm just going to try and understand from you what it takes to become a finance leader in Dubai, or what does it take to find a finance leader role in Dubai?
I think it's just change of location. There is not much that you do. Even if you change industries, it's the same, right? When you change one industry to another, you have to adapt yourself to a newer industry. And I think it's the same with the role here in UAE. Yes, today it's become very competitive. I would say 15 years back, 18 years back, when I moved to Dubai earlier, it wasn't this competitive how it has become today. But ultimately, I think it doesn't matter where you... Like, it's UAE, but let's say tomorrow I plan to move to US, it would be the same thing for me as well, because it's the, you need to understand the industry, you need to understand the taxation, you need to understand what is that matters in your company, and that's how it is.
Yeah, I was just getting to the specificity of what, is there any Dubai level information that you need to acquire, or is there any specific geography level wisdom that you need to acquire? It seems like
that's more to do with taxation, because now taxation is prevalent in UAE as well. So yes, taxation. But I think anyone who has worked in Indian system, I think they can work anywhere in the world.
I think we are trained to be the best.
Absolutely. I think even in UAE, I would say that the finance professionals, no matter you will meet many finance professionals, but when you meet an Indian chartered accountant or Indian finance professional, you know that they know it all, because they have gone through worse scenarios and, cases in India. So they can handle any kind of situation here.
Got it. So if you have to summarize a 5-point checklist on what someone needs to become, let's say, a new geography leader, new geography CFO, what would those be?
First is understanding what is that you want as ultimate. Like, the reason I say this is many people, they don't know that they want to establish a career in UAE, or they want to, just use this as a launch pad and then move somewhere else. So they are always confused. So having that clarity is really important, because that's where you will choose your roles. If you want to be a generalist or if you want to be a consultant, but you will choose your role based on that. So I think that would be the first thing, to understand what is that you are looking at from UAE. Secondly, networking. I think you cannot undermine the value of networking. So if you are getting into any new geography, it's very important that you network yourself, you get to know people around there, having association of your fraternity people. I think that's a key as well. The next is for any new geography for you to enter in, you need to know what are the industries that are thriving in those geographies, and then you ensure that you are kind of looking for a role in those industries. So when I came over in UAE, I think oil and gas was at the top, but today it's not the same, right? So it's completely different. So it's very important for you to understand which countries and what in which geographies, which are the industries which are really good. And I think
just curious, what would the industry be today? Now let's say oil and natural gas was then. What is it today in Dubai?
I would say crypto. I would say blockchain technology. I would say technology, because I think UAE is trying to become the Silicon Valley in terms of crypto. So I think that is one of the area. But there are, I mean, UAE has diversified quite a bit today. You know, I think tech startups and tech-based startups especially are another thing which you should look out today in UAE. There are many opportunities coming up, considering that this is a growing economy, and there are very few economies today in today's time which are promising. Real estate is definitely one of the biggest industry today in UAE, and I think no one knows better than India, because a lot of investments come from India. So yeah, these may be few of the industries I would say that they are really growing and thriving here in UAE at the moment. Yeah,
got it. Moving on. So over the course of, let's say, decades of, you know, working in finance, you might have come across a lot of ERPs and specific finance operations platforms. So I want to put you on the spot and ask you, do you prefer ERPs or working with distinct functional platforms for your problems today?
Very nice question, I would say. I think I started my career when ERPs were just the in thing, right? They got into play and transformations across the corporates were happening thanks to ERP. And we just thought that it's impossible to survive without them anymore. And that's how it started. Over a period of time, what I've realized is businesses have changed quite a bit. The requirements of businesses have changed quite a bit. They are very, you need systems which are very agile, which should be able to adapt to the requirements which come up just overnight, right? So I do see that ERPs are still maybe the backbone of businesses today, because you want, at least the large corporates, we want everything to be on one platform. But I think it's not sufficient anymore, because they can provide you with a process-driven approach, but at the same time, a decision-making based on old, outdated systems, which are very huge, bulky. If you want to make a small change, maybe it takes about 6 months to 1 year for the change to get incorporated across functions, right? So it's very difficult today in this agile world to completely rely on ERP systems, become kind of a mammoth task now to keep updating to the continuous change or evolvement in the business, right? And which is why these tools, I think there are several tools today which are designed for decision making. Yeah, there are tools which allow you to specifically handle a task. Specifically, like for example, if someone wants automation of a small area of business which otherwise becomes very repetitive, right? You can do it with integration with the tool, and your work which otherwise would have taken maybe months together would now be concised within like 3-5 days. You can complete the work. So I think it's time now to look beyond the ERP systems, especially function driven. For example, for finance functions, there are too many things which are still manual. When it comes to ERP, it's impossible to get them all automated. So unless you have automation tools, like I have in my experience, I've worked on several payment processing automation tools. I have worked on reconciliation automation tools. I think Blue Copa is one of the tools that, it helps you kind of make your work so simpler and easier, reporting tools. So I think it's time now to integrate based on function specific and not just depend on company specific or company wide ERP system.
Got it. I think over the course of years, financiers have also become very tech savvy. They understand, even if there are disparate systems solving for unique problems, you can ultimately bring all of them together and still build the bigger picture. I think ERPs either need to update or go out of business.
I don't know, go out of business. I think, one more thing I would like to add is that today, so in those days when ERPs were made, there were very few people in technology world and they were, all put together in one company and they built something for the whole organization. Today, we have very good talent across the world. So I think we are not far off from a place where every company would have their own ERP system, what suited them, right? Like instead of going for these standard ERP solutions, we would be in a place where every industry or every company would have their own solution, which suits them the best.
Got it. As a CFO, if you have to help me make the case to go with a bunch of tools instead of one single ERP, which does all but does it in the same way, what would your point be? Or what would your point be that, you know, this is why we need a bunch of tools over a single ERP?
I think, at least to my knowledge, still making that choice is going to be difficult because... Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if we just go with a bunch of tools, then there may be a lot of overlap, is what I feel. So I would still feel that it's important to have a kind of infrastructure which is common across the organization, and then you build tools specific to what output you want to derive out of each of the functions.
Got it. So it's... Can I take that as a you need a bunch of tools and a system in the center?
I think at least, to my knowledge, at least I can see that it's impossible at this stage still to completely eradicate organization-wide solution because otherwise you would have too much of data overlap and too much of work which will be kind of... all departments needing the same information and it would be scattered in various areas.
True that. I totally agree. Perfect. Moving on, a couple of questions primarily would love to hear your thoughts on this. So diversity, equity and inclusion is what I want to discuss in deeply about you, with you. So over the course of our previous chats with a couple of other speakers, we asked them, you know, how has DEI evolved over the 10 years and, you know, what kind of growth have you seen happen in the 10 years range? So throwing the same question at you, how do you rate the growth of, you know, inclusivity of leaders and CFOs in the ecosystem and how do you rate the growth of it?
So I would just go a little bit historically, right? Like 10, 15 years back when I was in that situation where I wanted to, you know, take a break, corporate break. Or let me put it this way. If I go back few years back and when I was in that situation where I wanted to be in a place where I could still continue my corporate journey, but at the same time focus on my personal life, it was almost impossible, right? Because I think the technology, mindsets of people, everything was not at what it is today. So if we say in last 15 years, a lot has changed in terms of mindsets of people, in terms of inclusivity, in terms of you know, valuing women leadership. It has changed, but I think still we are way far off from where we should be. Even today, when I go for corporate events, when I am invited anywhere, I see that there are hardly any women around who are in this place of influence. So when you start, anyone starts a journey, yes, it's a very good ratio. Today you see men, women equal. Right, but very few are able to sustain the growth and grow to a position where they are in a place of influence. And I think there are several factors for that. Mostly, yes, still today the corporates are not adapted to the requirements of a working mother. I still feel that a child is not raised in 3 months, right? Like in that maternity break. So you need to have a very compassionate management or organization or leadership across the world who do see that there are different requirements for men and different requirements for women just because women are still the primary caregivers to their kids. So it's kind of important to balance that out. I think it is changing, but still we need a lot more leaders having that kind of mindset where they believe that when women are primary caregivers and their focus is raising their kids, that doesn't mean that they are going to consider their corporate job any less. You know, they are going to be in that capacity to multitask and deliver still the best at both the places. So I think there is still, we are way far off from that mark. And also, I think the other thing is, it's very difficult for women to find that kind of mentorship. That's another challenge that I feel. Even I myself, when I am looking for mentorship, I see very few women around me from whom I can draw inspiration, who have gone through all the challenges and still, it's not like women are not in the corporate world. There are many women in the corporate world, but somehow either they themselves hold themselves back and don't take those leadership positions, considering that, you know, that will take away my family time, or that will take away my, I will not be able to focus on something else. And that's the reason they do not take up that opportunities. Or maybe the corporates don't consider still that women can do it all and have it all. So I think that mentorship is missing. Another thing that I see is to a large extent, as you grow in corporate world and you want to grow on senior positions, it's important. Networking is a key, right? And most of networking still happens in golf clubs and over a drink. And, you know, it's so difficult for a woman to still find a place for themselves in those kind of setups. This is very unfortunate, but I have seen myself going through this as well. Right. So
understood.
Even in today's time. So then I do understand that, why still you don't see many women, climbing the corporate career ladder and be at the top is predominantly because they don't find that kind of leaders around who go beyond the gender, who see an individual as individual and not link it with a gender.
Understood. Great. When you were mentioning that, you are still seeking for a mentor or a woman leader whom you can draw inspiration from, learn from, talk to, right? The question on top of my mind was like, who is it today, right? Given that the options are still limited, is there any woman that you admire today and or you draw influence from that you would want to recommend or anything? So that was the question on my mind.
I think when I started my corporate career, there was only one resounding name that I heard all throughout, and that was Indira Nooyi. And I think I draw a lot of my inspiration from that woman because she is a perfect example of, I would say, balance. She proved it to the world that women can have it all. She ensured that she managed her professional growth along with her family. She knew that you have to compromise, but she knew where to draw that line as well. And I think I've learned a lot from her, thanks to her book as well. I have got up and close to know her a lot more. But yeah, I think I draw a lot of my inspiration from her, and that allows me to live my life guilt-free. Because as a mother as well, I go through those situations many a times in life where I have to choose. And then, sometimes I have to choose my job, and sometimes I have my work, and sometimes I have to choose. And I can do that guilt-free thanks to her, because she knows, she has kind of doted a line for all of us.
She set the precedence that, you can quote Indira Nooyi saying that, no, she's done it. It's worked out. So you can believe me on this. I'll also get it done.
So true. And she's a perfect blend, I think, of everything. I would say passion, aggression, at the same time, humility, execution, compassion. So she has it all, I would say.
Perfect. I think that's a very good example for most of the people who would want to take this journey. Perfect.
Yeah, women I see, they live in this guilt. Although they are, compromising their personal life sometimes, they are compromising their responsibilities, sometimes, and take up, work as a priority or whatever. But they live in this guilt. Like, for example, if I have to travel on work for maybe, let's say, 1 month, I'm away from home. I can do it guilt-free today thanks to her, because she makes it very clear in your mind that, women can also have it all, and you can have everything and still balance and have, give your time.
Perfect. What would you recommend should be a few things that we should do to have more women in the more women representation in the table? Set of recommendations.
I think I would start first with having leadership around us who understand that women are as hungry and as ambitious as men are, because that's the first step, I would say, because if once that is clear in mind, then there are a lot of problems that we see today would not be in place. For example, pay disparity, I think that's one of the key challenge even today, that would not come into play the moment they see that women are also ambitious, equally ambitious as men. Secondly, that they are serious about their role. You know, most people doubt that they are very serious. They think that they are just coming to work for a time pass. You know, it's like that's not truth anymore. You know, women have their own identity to build. And I think when leaders start understanding this around us, I think that's going to change. Another thing I would say is having more mentorship program. I think a lot of workforce goes out of work between the prime age of maybe 28 to 35. You lose good, you know, skilled workers who can be tomorrow's leaders. You lose them in the process, because while they are just prioritizing their personal life, and you lose them, and there are hardly any programs which motivate them to come back to work. And I think this is something which is a must. I know a group a firm which is dedicated to this. Its name is Gozeel. Based out of India itself. And I have seen some of their programs where they are reskilling, women who have taken a break from corporate world, and they are reskilling them, upskilling them, and getting them on par with other workers and getting them back to workforce. They are, I think, women only team, something of that sort. But it's like these kind of programs are must, I feel, today, so that you can bring back that workforce. I think corporates today need women leadership, and I think this is something that is missing, is mentoring and motivating them to come back. A lot of people just need that little bit of push to believe in themselves, and then I think there is so I think this is another thing that is needed, more groups or more programs which motivate women workforce to be back. And thirdly, I think you need clear-cut mentorship programs to grow in the corporate ladder. So there are a lot of people at the mid-range, but the very few grow to the top. And I think that is another thing that may help, because when you don't see anyone else whom you can emulate, it's very difficult for you to seek guidance from men who have different challenges. Women, when they are growing in their corporate life, there are different challenges altogether. So you need more people who can guide them, who have walked their path. People like Indra Nui, but many more like them. You know, it's very difficult to reach out to her. So yeah, you need many more such people who can guide and, kind of mentor people to grow.
Can I also say no more golf club meetings?
No, golf club is good, but who says that women on the golf club cannot network?
No, I'm just asking.
Women there.
Yeah, correct. Perfect. So more golf playing women joining the meetups.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just keep it open. You don't decide for them whether they can be a part of that meeting or not. Let them decide. Correct.
Perfect. Got it. Yeah, I think it was a very interesting conversation, and I really love how you are championing the cause for having more women representing in the table. Lovely chat with regards to your journey, the ERP discussions as well. So thank you so much, Jarna, for taking the time and being on the show. It was a very interesting conversation.
Thank you so much, Guru. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you. Bye-bye.